Fuzzy Bread.
Fuzzy Bread.
Hello, and welcome to the first official Fuzzy Bread program. My name is Actree, or Chris Wagner, if you wish to pray about me. I'd like to thank Orin Otter for allowing me to be on an actual station that is broadcasting somewhere, and I'd like to thank you all for listening. And now, without further ado, let's begin our Bible study. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Open up your Bibles to Matthew 1. In this episode, we are going to discuss the genealogy of Jesus. We are going to talk about what the skeptics say in relationship to what is actually true about Jesus and his genealogy. I'm not going to read the entire thing to you because it'll probably bore the snot out of you, but I am going to explain the things that confuse a lot of people about these passages. First of all, a thing that confuses a lot of people is the fact that the Gospel of Matthew contains a different genealogy than the one in Luke. Contrary to popular belief, this is not a plot hole. What the Gospels are presenting here are two different genealogies. And no, neither one of these is anything about the genealogy of Mary. You see, the customs of that day and age were different than the ones we practice today. Back then, it was customary for a wife to take a man's brother as her husband if the man she married had passed away. This was the one and only exception to the commandments against incest in the Old Testament. And because this caused such a great complication in charting out one's family tree, the New Testament therefore presents two genealogies of Jesus. And the point of all this is to show you that Jesus is Jewish. This chapter is designed to address people who believe in the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament. Obviously, an atheist wouldn't care less about it. But to God-believing Jews, this genealogy was incredibly important. In the Old Testament, God promised a Messiah, a King Messiah, a Priest Messiah, who would be a descendant of David, and he would be a descendant of Abraham. And if he wasn't even related to them, the Jews would have every right to reject him and not accept him as the Messiah King that the prophets spoke about. And I wouldn't even be here talking about him. Now here comes a big, confusing issue. Ages ago, around the first century, when the early church was just starting, nobody questioned the lineage of Jesus. It was only centuries later that people even tried to call Jesus' lineage into question. Apparently, during that day and age, even the critics who wanted Jesus dead and wanted to find any old piece of dirt they could find about him, never once came up with the speculation that Mary was raped by a Roman soldier. This idea came into being centuries after the church started, which is ridiculous. There is another argument put forth by rabbis of the non-Christian variety, claiming that Jesus descended from an individual whom God cast out of his covenant. Their theory is that somewhere in Jesus' genealogy, before the birth of Shealtiel and Zerubbabel, there is some guy who did what is dishonorable in the sight of the Lord, and therefore God cast him out and revoked his promises from him. However, if you look in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "On that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts." Whenever the Old Testament says, "on that day," it normally indicates the day of the Lord, the time of the Messiah. So even if one of these guys before Shealtiel was in trouble with the Lord, God's promise to Zerubbabel negates that curse. If God is okay with Zerubbabel, he's okay with his descendants. And Jesus descended from Zerubbabel. So technically, the genealogy of Jesus is still pretty solid. I think the major reason why this argument is brought forward is because somebody wants to offer a different Messiah to the Jewish people. It's probably perfect for whoever it is they want to replace Jesus with, even though the argument is complete rubbish. Now, after the long list of names, we see that all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Now, I'm not good with math, but the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24, predicts that the Messiah will come in 70 weeks of years. If you know how this math works, please email me at actree@yahoo.com. This concludes the reading for today. Now let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your son Jesus to be our Messiah. Thank you that we know who the Messiah is, and we know that Jesus is the one that fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. Thank you for showing us that Jesus is indeed Jewish and is indeed descended from Abraham, and thus can fulfill the prophecies and save us from our sins and rule the kingdom of heaven and rule us forever. I thank you for showing us your word and your truth, and I thank you for the Messiah, Priest, King, Jesus. Thank you for all these things, Lord. Amen. And now it is time for a new feature, Skeptic Corner!
2 Kings 19 is virtually identical to Isaiah 37.
So what? Even if this is an identical account of Hezekiah, it only reinforces that what we're reading is an actual document that recorded a historical event. When the Bible came together, it didn't come together in a big book like we see it today. It came in individual books, scrolls. So the people that had 2 Kings did not have the book of Isaiah in their hands to look at. So even if the story is virtually identical, it doesn't mean that the Bible is false. It just gives more weight to it. Now it is time for Actree's Story Time. I will be reading to you from a book that never got published. one I personally written. The title of this book is called Gatsy Smoke, and it's a sequel to the first book that I wrote, which I don't currently have a copy of. I'm not really sure where it went exactly either. Gatsy Smoke is a children's story, which I seem to have written for the wrong audience. It is still decent, but the writing is too advanced for children to read. But now you get to hear it anyway. I'm only going to read one page of the story to you during this particular program, so relax.